Welcome to the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Alfieri, and joining me like he does for every show is the senior writer and editor of Roto-World Hockey, Michael Finewax. Michael, how's it going?
Everything's terrific. Getting all geared up for the draft.
This was supposed to be, you know, we're going to talk about just the draft on this show, but a couple of things have happened since the last time we spoke. There's been a couple trades. Looks like Barry Trotz is going to get a new gig, so we'll get to all that stuff before we talk about the draft. So, I mean, I guess let's start with the first deal that went down Friday. Alex Galchenyuk looks like he's going to play center. He's going to Arizona. A lot less pressure than Montreal, I'll tell you that. And the Canadians are getting back Max Domi. Just your initial thoughts when you saw the deal?
Not exactly sure what they're doing in Montreal. I like the move from Arizona's perspective. I like Galchenyuk. I'm sure the pressure of Montreal, rather, you know, in comparison to the lack of pressure in Arizona, will really help his game. You know, Max Domi's a nice hockey player, but I just don't understand. I don't think he's got the talent of Galchenyuk. You know, I understand that Galchenyuk had to go, but I think they could have done better than Max Domi.
Yeah, I mean, it was a deal that, I don't know, I guess it didn't surprise me just because he's, you know, Galchenyuk's been in the rumor mills for now. Like, it's well over a year. They clearly felt like he wasn't the answer at center, but interestingly enough, you know, Rick Tocchet, John Chayka come out. They say that he's going to be able to play center, or they're going to throw him down the middle in Arizona. And then Galchenyuk comes out and says, you know, he asked to play center down the stretch last year, and it didn't end up happening, which is kind of interesting because if you remember, the Canadians had some injuries down the middle, and then when they did, they end up putting Paul Byron there, a guy who pretty much never played center. As opposed to Galchenyuk, who had played center, had success offensively anyway at the NHL level. But they clearly threw in the towel. I mean, look, anytime you trade for a talented player, I do think Max Domi is a talented player. I mean, you're not necessarily throwing in the towel, but he's a different kind of player. Uh-huh. And last I checked, Michael, the Canadians need goals. Not kind of need goals, they need goals. And they traded away a guy who scored 30 before for a guy who had 9 goals last year. So, and 4 of them into an empty net. So, again, like I don't think it's as bad as some of the people in Montreal make it out to be, but I don't think the Canadians got the better player.
Yeah, me either. I mean, you're there. Did the coach not like Galchenyuk? Was that a problem, or was it the GM, or was it both?
Well, I mean, obviously they weren't enamored. Michel Therrien and Claude Julien were never enamored with Galchenyuk's play in his own end. And if you remember last year, or the 2 seasons ago now, the Canadians, once they made the coaching change from Therrien to Julien on Valentine's Day, Julien came in and, you know, with Galchenyuk there, didn't exactly get off to a rosy start. They opened the playoffs against the Rangers in the first round, and Galchenyuk was the 4th line left winger, opened this season as a 4th line winger as well. So you can tell they were less than enamored with him. But at the same time, I did feel like Galchenyuk progressed in terms of maturity a little bit, and even just his overall play. I thought it got better as the 2017-18 season went along, but clearly they had seen enough. They wanted a different kind of player, and here we are, Alex Galchenyuk. And there's some cap savings in there as well. Galchenyuk has 2 years left on his deal at $4.9 million. Domi signed for a bridge deal at $3.15. But still, I mean, with all the problems that Galchenyuk may have given you and the frustration, still a guy who scored 30, last year. I think he had it was a up and down year. He still had 19. So interesting deal. And if it works out at center, oh boy, I think the city might fall apart here. If Galchenyuk to center ends up working out as a long-term thing for the Coyotes, it's not going to play over very well here. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, you know, big deal, they save money. Who wants to come to Montreal right now? I mean, if I was a free agent, I certainly wouldn't want to, because there's nothing there, or there's very little there. You know, I guess if Weber comes back on the blue line and Price turns things around and Pacioretty turns things around, you know, especially if he's not dealt, and if this happens and if that happens, they'll be okay. But that's an awful lot to happen just to be okay and want to come there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously, I mean, it's just, I think the thing that kind of irked people the most here in Montreal anyway is that this team has been lacking a center for the longest time. And, you know, they had this guy who 2 years ago, you know, he started the season down the middle. He got hurt in Los. I'll never forget this. He got hurt in Los Angeles in the month of November, so November 2016, and he was top 10 in the league in scoring. Came back, was never himself again. Just didn't seem comfortable out there. But the experiment at center was over. I mean, it was done. They never threw him back out there. And I think that was the frustrating part. And even in a lost year where they were kind of out of the playoff picture as early as, you know, late October, early November. Here, Michael, this season, I mean, they never threw him back out there. And they basically said, hey, listen, we've seen enough of Galchenyuk down the middle. He's not good enough, and he's never going to be good enough. So I guess that was, you know, that was pretty much it. That's all she wrote. I thought the return was underwhelming, but there's a lot of people who don't see Max Domi as a top six forward. I think I see Max Domi as a top six forward.
Yeah.
They're just two different things.
Yeah. You know, I'll attribute the last year's season just to an off year, and that happens to young players. I think his rookie season was more indicative of his play. He's a tough little player, and you know, I think he'll go. And he's a good skater. I think he'll go over well in Montreal. But I think they could have done better. But you know, maybe they could have done better if they decided, you know, when he was top 10, and after that they weren't going to throw him back in as a center. You know, they could have gotten a lot more for him back then, because because lots of people must have thought he was a good center.
Yeah, I don't know if they could have done better right now. I don't know if anyone was going to pony up more than Max Domi. But again, I'm going to put that on the Canadians because they totally mismanaged Galchenyuk from the start, moving him to wing, moving him to center, and you know, openly saying things about him like, you know, we've seen enough of him at center. I think they mismanaged him, and more than anything, listen, the player's development, the player has a lot to do with it as well. It's not just the team. But at the same time, I really, really feel like the Canadians did this to themselves. If he was, you know, his value was at its lowest, and this is when they decided to trade him, that's kind of on them. That's their fault. So in the moment right now, I don't think they were going to get better than Domi. That's just a gut feel for me. But I think they have nobody to blame but themselves. And I think that's what kind of left everybody frustrated at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if they do with Pacioretty too, if they deal them, they're not going to get much as much for him because it is at an all-time low.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It definitely. So interesting times ahead. It doesn't sound... You know, I'm sure if John Tavares makes it to market, the Canadians will be all in. But like you said, who wants to come to Montreal? And are you, you know, how much money are you going to have to pony up to get John Tavares to come here? I feel like, you know, just with the taxes alone and, you know, the fact that the team isn't necessarily great, I feel like you'd have to pony up some serious dough to get him here. And you have to wonder if that's worth it. You know, if they end up having to go $14-15 million, I mean, is that something you really want to do? Obviously, it fills a huge need, but, you know, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it when it comes to Tavares. All right, since the last time we were on, Michael, we talked about a potential Mike Hoffman trade. We talked about the situation in Ottawa quite extensively on the last Roto-World Hockey podcast. And Mike Hoffman wasn't just traded once. He was traded twice.
Yeah, you know, he wore out his welcome in San Jose real quick.
Yeah, I saw some tweets there about you know, people wondering if there's going to be a video tribute when the Panthers go play in San Jose. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yes, for sure. For sure. You know, I don't know why Ottawa just didn't trade him to Florida, because I think they got a much better return from...
Well, clearly they were, you know, clearly they didn't want to trade him within the division,
well,
right?
But like who cares? Because you always know another team can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. You got
Just put the provision in the trade, right? I mean, like, if you have a problem with that, make sure you say, hey, listen, for the next year, you can't trade Mike Hoffman out east, or you can't trade him to the Atlantic or whatever it is. I mean, if you're that concerned about it, that you're not going to negotiate with a quarter of the league, then make sure you put something in the trade you make with San Jose. Just say, like, hey, listen, you can't trade him here.
You know, I really don't see what difference it really makes, because what's the difference if he plays twice in San Jose, like once at home and once on the road? He plays four or five times as a member of the Florida Panthers. You know, you still got to face him eventually. It's not like in baseball where you know you might not see a National League team for 3-4 years. It's just, you know, it's if you're in the American League and trade him over. You know, it's pretty toxic in Ottawa right now. I mean, what's with these Canadian cities?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you ask Gary Bettman, there's no problem in Ottawa.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I'm sure there's no problem. I'm sure there's no problem in Quebec City either. if you ask Gary Bettman. You know, it's just I don't understand what's going on. Of course they deny it, Hoffman and his girlfriend, and maybe rightfully so, because maybe it was, you know, outside forces. But, you know, there's no way that Carlson was coming back, so it seems, if Hoffman was on the team and he was still with his girlfriend. And, you know, they got really nothing. Like Michael Bodker.
Yeah, that's your guy. That's your favorite player.
You know, he'll probably do well because there'll be no pressure in Ottawa this year, and he'll probably get 45, 50 points because he's probably going to be a top six forward this year. But I don't know. You know, Mike Hoffman's a lot better than that. And, you know, I think San Jose came out smelling like a rose. They got rid of Bodker, and they got
that's second. $4 million? Yeah, that's $4 million. Yeah. That's $4 million.
Yeah. And, you know, they signed them. It was not a good signing for them, or so it turned out. And they flipped them, and they got a second, fourth, and fifth. You know, they had to throw in a seventh. Big deal. But, like, that's a pretty nice return from just to get rid of Bodker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that was Doug Wilson, the GM out there. It's a very well-executed plan because, I didn't think they'd be able to find a taker for Bodker, especially at $4 million a year. I think he has 2 years left on his deal. I mean, since he came to San Jose, it really was a swing and a miss signing there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that Kovalchuk visited out there, Michael. We know that, you know, a lot of the big free agents, you know, Steven Stamkos, we've talked about it on this podcast. If he was going to go to market, there's a good chance he was going to go to San Jose a couple years back. And now you have to wonder. You know, they've got a hole down the middle there if Joe Thornton doesn't go back. And Thornton's not the same player. So if Tavares goes to market, I mean, you've got to think that this move only helps.
For sure. It's a beautiful place to live. And they got a nice hockey team. Yeah, you know, like for sure Tavares can go there if he decides to go the UFA route. And, you know, again, kudos to Doug Wilson. That was a very, very good move that he made. And you know what? It could work out very, very well for Florida too. As long as they don't trade for Carlson.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, I mean, look, the Panthers—they missed the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. And listen, you can think whatever you want about the Hoffman situation here, but on the ice, I mean, there's no denying it. They gave up a second round pick in 2019, I think it was. And they've got themselves a player who can score between 25 and 30 goals and over 50 points. So, you'd have to think Dale Tallon is happy about that. And plus, I think Hoffman and Huberto played together, if I'm not mistaken, in junior.
Right.
So there's a little familiarity there. But, you know, I think if the Florida Panthers can kind of manage this entire situation, and obviously it's a non-traditional hockey market, so the microscope's not necessarily going to be as on Hoffman as, you know, say if Toronto or Montreal made that deal. I feel like it would be unbearable in a market like that, or even in New York or anything like that. You know, I think if he went somewhere where, you know, there's a passionate fan base and a lot of media, that would be a lot more difficult to kind of overcome. But the fact that he's in Florida, no disrespect to the media out there, they're not as numerous as some of the other cities around the league. So I think it could work. I think it kind of makes sense for a team like Florida to pull off a move like that. And I'm really curious to see how it works out now with Ottawa. Like, is Carlson more likely to come back? Has he already made up his mind?
Well,
where do the Senators go from here? I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, he can't be less likely to come
back. Well, I don't think it's less likely. Yeah, but I mean, how much more likely is it?
Yeah, and kudos to Talon, who replaced Marchessault and or Riley Smith quite nicely with Hoffman.
Wow.
That was sarcasm.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Petrovic, I mean, they decided to keep Petrovic ahead of those guys, and he's an RFA this year. I mean, they better bring him back, and they better make that whole thing work because it already doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
So Florida Panthers make out okay. The San Jose Sharks make out okay. The Ottawa Senators, well.
They rid themselves of a problem and have a shot at keeping Carlson, perhaps.
Okay, we also talked about this last week. So now what do you do? So Hoffman's gone. Maybe Carlson comes back. You have to give up one of these two picks. You either have to give up the fourth overall pick this year or you have to give up your first round pick next year. Who knows how high that'll be if there's no Erik Karlsson. No Mike Hoffman. Man, Michael, if I was Pierre Dorion, I have no idea what I'd do in this situation.
You know what? If you know you're not keeping Carlson, and I'm sure he's got a good idea, give up this pick. It'll be. But you go right to the basement, and you got a shot at Hughes next year, who's supposed to be a special player. You know, again, I'm looking at the draft probably going Dahlin, Svechnikov.
Yeah.
And I think if Montreal doesn't trade down, which I think they will, but I think Brady Tkachuk goes third. And I wonder if Ottawa really loves Zadina enough to keep him, or if Zadina goes third, what's going to happen? But, I don't know. I don't think Brady Tkachuk and Zadina, they're extremely good players. I don't think they're going to be franchise changers. And if they blow the first pick next year overall, and because Hughes has a chance to be a franchise changer, that will not go over well in Ottawa. You know, they still got a second round pick. They got a first round pick this year late.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they can't, no matter what happens, they can't win because they blew it making a bad trade.
Well, that's the thing. That's the issue. But because the thing is, I mean, you never know. You get a couple of young players emerge. You know, like if Thomas Chabot takes the next step and Colin White takes the next step next year, like these guys have some room to grow. Like if they surprise. But that's the problem. I mean, you don't know. You don't know what can happen. You know, the Senators could surprise and still finish like 12th from the bottom. But then obviously you'd rather give up the 12th overall pick than the 4th overall pick, I think. So
let me rephrase what you're saying. What happens if they really have good years out of all these guys and they miss the playoffs, let's say by 7-8 points, and then they win the lottery?
Well, that's – yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's possible too. Yeah. I mean, Carolina moved up quite heavily this year. Yeah, I don't know what to do if I'm Pierre Dorion. Honestly, I think it's keeping me up at night quite a bit because I have no clue where they go from.
I have a feeling whatever he does, it's going to be the wrong move.
Fair enough. I'm glad I'm not in issues. Actually, I'd kind of like to be in issues, even though, you know, the situation's not great. I'd like to be an NHL GM. I think I can do it.
Yeah? Would you hire me to help out?
I think so. Yes, that would be my first move. And I would pay you handsomely to scout in the Bahamas. I think I owe you that much.
Yeah, they got quite the league there, the BHL.
All right, you're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast with Joey Alfieri and Michael Finewax. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Joey Alfieri. Michael's at MFineWaxHockey. And the Roto World Hockey main page is at RotoWorld_HK. If you love fantasy baseball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy baseball, but not like the other guys. No salary caps, no pros or bots on Draft. You play live snake drafts with other real people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. Drafts take as little as 2 minutes and for just one night. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waivers. You just set it and forget it. That's my favorite part. Drafts start every minute, so you can join one right now. And the best part, play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. Join me on Draft today. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com, whatever you prefer. For limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. That's right. Play a real money game for free with the promo code RW. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're offering you a money-back guarantee up to $100, but you have to use my promo code RW. A free real money entry and a $100 money-back guarantee. That's promo code RW. All right, Michael, I just wanted to gloss over the NHL awards very quickly before we get to the draft stuff. Was there anything that kind of surprised you? Because I can tell you right now, because, you know, once the awards were being announced, they were kind of tweeting out the breakdown from the Pro Hockey Writers Association of the votes. And the one that kind of jumped out to me was the Calder Trophy. Yanni Gourde had a nice season for Tampa Bay, but he got a first place Calder Trophy vote over Matt Barzal.
Well, yeah. Well, you got to question some writers. I remember a few years ago that Ovechkin was the all-star left winger, and I think he finished second on the right side. You know, it's just you got to question some of these voters, and nothing really surprised me. The best part, my favorite part of the whole thing, were the tributes to, like, Parkland and Humboldt, which was really, really nice. And I mean, that's the hockey community. And, you know, they made it a fun show. You know, it's nice to see all the award winners all at once. I think no one was more surprised than Connor David when he won the Ted Lindsay. But you know what? He is the best player in the league, and the players know it. You know, that's for the best player. It doesn't go to the most valuable player like the
Hurricane. Yeah. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah. And, you know, it was great to see Taylor Hall. And, again, another great move by a Canadian GM, Chiarelli, who traded him to New Jersey for Adam Larson, who's a nice defenseman. But, you know, you don't trade guys like Taylor Hall.
Yeah, not for the MVP.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. How about yourself?
I liked it. I thought there was some really corny moments. The magician announcing the Selke Trophy winner. I think he botched that. I'm not 100% sure what that was supposed to be. But clearly, I mean, he starts scattering out the cards when he's announcing the winner. And it's supposed to make a picture of Kopitar. And the picture's kind of all messed up. So I don't know if that was by design, if that was a mistake or... I don't know. Some of the parts were really corny, but the Humboldt, the reunion there up on stage, that was outstanding. The speech from the wife of the coach who passed away on that tragic, that bus accident, that was like really moving. There was a lot of stuff. I mean, the tributes were the best part. It's not my favorite thing to watch, but the tributes, especially at the end there with the Humboldt tragedy there, that was the best part of the evening by far.
Yep. Yep, that was terrific. And Parkland, too. That was really nice.
Yep, Parkland was great. Yeah.
You know, it's, all the jazzy parts they put in, or, you know, I mean, you like it or you don't like it. It's just part of the entertainment. But the Humboldt stuff, like all the tributes, that was really, really good. And, you know, even like seeing Brian Boyle win the Masters, and it was great because, you know, those are the real stories. And that's really hockey. And, you know, like I didn't like when Hedman and I don't even know who those two guys was. It Letterkenny.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was for was that?
I thought that was for the Norris with Hedman.
Yeah, but then there was those other two guys who were up there for the NHL 19 reveal.
That's
there.
What it was. The NHL 19.
Yeah, they kept interrupting Subban, and I think he was actually getting annoyed with them. They thought they were kidding around, but it seemed like Subban was pretty annoyed by that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The part with NHL 19, like, I wish Subban just would have elbowed him in the head, both of them. You know?
Yeah.
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 You know, and fine, he suspended for a shot to the head. That would have been worth it.
Would have been worth it. Hey, they had that really goofy looking look. Anyway, yeah, though that was less than fun. But all right, let's talk a little draft here. You already alluded to it a bit before. I think we know what's happening at number one with Rasmus Dahlin to Buffalo. That's, you know, all but done. Number two, Carolina. What Don Waddell's already said that if they keep the pick, it's going to be Svechnikov, which I have no issue with. But I'm curious to see if they actually do keep the pick. I think I know everybody's thinking that third overall with Montreal is when it could get interesting. But I think Carolina wants to shake this thing up. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they moved it for an established player. I think they need a go-to guy, especially offensively. To kind of change the fortunes around of this team. It's 9 years in a row without making the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina were to make a deal here.
Really? Yeah. I'd be very surprised. I think Svechnikov is the guy. He's a goal scorer. It's exactly what he's separated. As much as Dahlin separated himself from the pack, so is Svechnikov. And Svechnikov is a lot closer to Dahlin than he is to every other player. And any team that trades for him, if he's traded, is going to make out like a bandit because, you know, you got an 18-year-old who's a goal scorer. I can't see Carolina trading the pick. I really can't.
All right. So then you have Svechnikov too. You already said you had Brady Tkachuk at three. That's the one I'm not sure about. I think obviously there's a lot of intrigue. We spoke about a couple weeks ago. We spoke about the Jesperi Kotkaniemi. And his stock has really taken off, and he's a centerman, so that's why the Canadians have linked a lot of, the Canadians are linked to him. But I'm not going to just forget about Filip Zadina here. I know for whatever reason, he seems to be the sexy pick to drop back and fall a little bit in the first round or in the top five or out of the top five or whatever. But I'm not sure. I think there's just kind of something there. Like I've heard I heard an interview with Canadiens assistant general manager Trevor Timmins, who does a lot of the amateur scouting work. And it's just like he's been talking up Kotkaniemi, he's been talking up Brady Tkachuk a little bit, and kind of brushed Zadina under the rug just a bit. So I feel like there's some misdirection going on here. And Zadina, if you remember this, Michael, he mentioned at the combine during the scrum, he says, yeah, it would be cool to go to Montreal, but I heard they're looking for a defenseman and a center. I don't know. It reeks of misdirection to me.
Well, perhaps. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, would it?
Especially not with the Canadiens, yeah.
Yeah. But I really think Montreal's trading down.
I don't think so. I just think, Michael, I don't think they're going to take the chance. I think if they really like the center, I think they're going to take him. They're not going to roll the dice and, you know, maybe he's not there at wherever.
That's quite the reach because I think they can get something good to help him out in the meantime for somebody trading up. But I think if they move down to 6-7 and then take, is it
Kotkaniemi?
Yeah. That's the guy they love. And, you know, if you love, you know, I agree. If you love them, take them. But I think that's a reach. I think they can get them 6-7 because I think a bunch of defensemen are going to go.
Yeah. That's fair. I think at the same time, like, you have to keep in mind, like, this is a kid who's definitely going to be back in Finland next year. And I know he's younger. He's quite a bit younger than Zadina. I think you need to be careful here just because you don't want to necessarily go with need. Like if you think, again, he was on Montreal radio today, Kotkaniemi, and he said that he compares himself to Alex Barkov and that they posted up similar offensive numbers at the same age, at the same level. And like, if you think he's Barkov, then you take him at 3. I don't care where he's supposed to go. I don't care who's better than him. But the thing is, I mean, like, is he really Barkov? Like, nobody necessarily had him rated this high until the end of the season. He had a great under 18 for Finland at the U18 World Juniors. But I don't know. I wouldn't sleep on Zadina too much because, look, Pacioretty is getting older. He has 1 year left on his deal. You don't even know if you're going to keep him. You're not exactly blessed with the greatest goal scorers in your farm system. Scoring wingers is certainly a need, too. I don't think people should just dismiss that.
Well, you know what? You always take the best player. You always take the best player because, you know, unless you're picking first or second, well, I guess, and third or up high, chances are you're not making it next year anyway. So you always think, and who knows what your need's going to be 2-3 years down the road.
Right.
So you always take the best player, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on in their head, you know. I mean, they all talk is that they need a center. They need a center. They need a center. This isn't working out. That was working out. You know, the best place to take your chance and get a center is the draft. Unless they know that Tkachuk's coming there, and that's impossible to know. Tavares is coming there, and that's impossible to know at this time.
Yeah. Well, they've also been linked to Ryan O'Reilly, which I think is interesting. I'd certainly take Ryan O'Reilly on my team, especially for Canadiens.
He's a nice center.
He's a two. Yeah,
he's not going to be the guy to lead you to the cup.
No, but he's a two. I think he's a two, and they certainly could use one, which is I'm totally fine with that. I know Paul Stastny is a free agent. Some people have linked Montreal to Paul Stastny. I mean, again, the guy's going to be 33 years old. This might be a last-ditch effort to kind of save his job for Marc Bergevin, so maybe they roll the dice there, but I mean, they could do worse than a 1-2 punch of Stastny and O'Reilly, but we already know O'Reilly's going to cost $7.5 million in cap space, and he's going to cost assets, and who knows what Stastny's going to cost. So it's interesting times ahead.
But why are you spending money on guys?
Saving jobs.
Well, that's then they should be fired right away because you do what's best for the organization.
Well, they're trying to win right away.
If that costs you your job, that costs you your job, but that's what you do. Like, I'll never forget back, like, 89 when Jerry McNamara was GM of the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a trade, and he traded his first pick for Tom Kervers. And I think the first pick ended up being, it turned out to be Scott Niedermeyer.
Oh, that did not turn out well, I think.
No, but as soon as the guy said, as soon as he says, well, you know what, if Kervers doesn't work out for me, I'm not here anyway, should have been fired on the spot.
Yeah, that's a problem. But,
that's not taking care of the organization. That's taking care of you. And you don't want a selfish guy as your GM.
So if Montreal holds at 3, you have them with Tkachuk?
Yeah, or Zadina, but I mean, the talk is Tkachuk that I've heard. I'm sure you've heard different.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard, I've heard everything from, you know, they've brought different guys out to dinner and whatnot. I don't know. I have no clue where the Canadians are going with this. And I think to make things even more intriguing, I was reading a little bit earlier that Matthew Tkachuk came out and said that he sees his brother as a centerman long term. So I don't know what that means, but. Yeah, no, I don't know. Can Brady Tkachuk play center all of a sudden? I have no idea, but I'm really curious to see what the Canadians do here. The one thing I will tell you, if they trade back, I mean, it's not the end of the world. They'll still get a good player, but trading out of the first round is, I think, is unacceptable at this point.
Yeah, I think trading out of the top eight is unacceptable.
Yeah, you can't trade out of, out of the top six, seven, eight picks, like you said. Immediate help, no, I can't have you do that. In the cap world, you need entry level contributors, and this is the best place to find them.
Yep.
All right, Ottawa is at four. Again, that's obviously going to depend. I mean, we can, you know, we've both looked at the prospects and whatnot. We don't know what's going to happen, but Ottawa's going to get themselves a good player, because if it is Kotkaniemi, that means they'll have a choice between Brady Tkachuk and Filip Zadina. And that could be interesting. And then, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. If Ottawa goes Zadina, then all of a sudden Brady Tkachuk goes to Arizona. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time of his youth there when his dad was playing there. That would be interesting. But you know what? Again, don't think that it's for sure that Ottawa will pick, because Ottawa can give up their pick during their pick to Colorado.
Right.
And if they don't get the guy, if the three guys that they really like are gone, wouldn't surprise me to say to hell with it. You know, we'll rebuild for next year. We'll do something and we'll go for it for next year. And maybe we'll get, you know, we know we're going to keep our first round pick and we don't have to worry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But who knows? Who knows? Can I think a lot of the defensemen are going to go between 5 and 12.
Right. Dobson, Hughes, there's a couple guys there.
Yeah, Boqvist might go. Bouchard.
Yep.
You know, there's quite a few. And, you know, it's funny, like reading up on these guys, everyone's a great skater now.
Yeah, I know. You noticed that, eh?
Yeah, it's just changed. It's like he's a high-end skater. He's a high-end skater. He's a very good skater. You know, he can go by guys. It's like, you know, it's amazing how hockey's changed rather than, you know, we got a first-round pick. We're taking someone 6'3", 220, who can hit like it used to be for years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Jared Cowans and Jared Tenorti's happen, and this is what happens. Things change.
Yep.
Could you imagine being Colorado right now, though? you're not sure? You're not sure what's going down?
You know, you finished with 48 points. You had a great run it was unbelievable their run this year. You've got McKinnon as your center, Ratnan on the wing. You know, you picked up a real, real nice defenseman from Nashville. And you know, you still got Tyson Barrie. There's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of talent there.
You might have the fourth overall pick.
Yeah, or it could be the first overall pick next year.
Yeah. I wonder if you gave Joe Sakic a little truth serum there. I wonder what he wants. Like, would he prefer getting the pick this year and you're guaranteed four, or do you have to? You know what I mean? Or like, do you want to roll the dice and maybe draft first next year?
Yeah, I think so. Like, again, I remember a few years ago when the Leafs traded for Kessel, and they gave up the two first round picks, and everyone was saying, "Well, it cost them." It cost Leafs Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
Truth was, it didn't cost him Tyler Seguin. It cost him Taylor Hall, because Leafs would have been the worst team in the league without Phil Kessel. They were the second worst team in the league with him, and he scored.
Right.
They would have been the worst team. They would have been worse than Edmonton. They would have gotten, you know, they wanted a goal scorer in Kessel. So for sure they would have wanted a goal scorer in Taylor Hall. You know, like, things just change. Like, you just never know when Leafs didn't think they would be that bad, but they were worse than that.
Yeah, I think I'd take four, to be honest.
Pardon me?
I think I take the pick this year because I know I'm guaranteed. You know, I'm top five. I'm fourth overall. I'll get somebody very, very good. Next year is a roll of the dice. That's the thing. That's the problem.
I agree. You know, they could finish fourth next year again and pick seventh.
Yeah. Although the next two drafts are supposed to be really good, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things change. All right, Michael, enjoy the draft.
You too.
What kind of coverage can we expect from RotoWorld?
Up to the minute.
From the draft here. Up to the minute. Up to the minute. Second.
As soon as the pick's made, you're going to see. You're going to have a report on the guy. We're going to do a live blog. And first round will be quite extensive. And RotoWorld is your place to go.
Fantastic. So it's rotoworld.com. Click on the NHL tab. And you'll get up to the second draft coverage as the picks are happening. So you definitely want to keep it locked into rotoworld.com. Michael, enjoy the draft. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. You have a great week.
You too. This has been the RotoWorld Hockey Podcast with Joey Alfieri and Michael Feinwax. Again, you can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri for me, at MFeinwaxHockey for Michael, and at RotoWorld_HK is the RotoWorld Hockey main page. And don't forget, we have full draft coverage, as Michael just mentioned, starting Friday night with the first round, and we'll continue to have coverage throughout the weekend, especially on Saturday when a lot of the other picks are made. So that should be a whole lot of fun. Enjoy the draft, everybody. We'll talk next week and maybe look ahead to some free agency.